Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We're going to end this hour with a much deeper exploration of the much vaunted misunderstanding behind the rather unpleasant PR debacles, boycotts, and condemnations unfolding now in Indiana and Arkansas. The Religious Freedom Restoration Acts in both states seem to give business owners some opt-out provision of anti-discrimination laws if they would have to violate some deeply held religious belief, a spiritual belief that the Supreme Court has held that people cannot be compelled to violate by the state under the famous Hobby Lobby case from last year. Elie Misdahl is an editor at the journal Above the Law. He says Hobby Lobby was actually an invitation for politicians to create just this kind of controversy.
I'm really surprised that people are so angry in Indiana because the Supreme Court did all of their discriminatory work for them last year during the Hobby Lobby decision. The key to that decision, Justice Alito expanded the meaning of persons, which previously had meant actual people or nonprofit corporations, and they expanded that meaning to for-profit corporations. So under Hobby Lobby, any corporation can claim a religious exemption to discrimination laws, basically, based on Alito's reasoning. Now, this is an important distinction. If you think about it, nobody really has a problem if the Catholic Church says, I'm not going to give you bread because you are gay. That's not great. That's not something that I would support, but it's the Catholic Church. You're going to let them do what they do. If the soup Nazi says, no soup for you because you're gay, that's a completely different level of discrimination, and that's the level of discrimination that Hobby Lobby opened up.
But how is it the same that someone who, say, sells flowers in Indiana, who isn't paying anything, is actually getting money to serve a client who is involved in a same-sex marriage ceremony? How is that the same? How does that become an equivalent sort of restriction of religion?
The best way of putting it is that before the Indiana law, before Hobby Lobby, before all of this went down, if I wanted something, if I was gay and I wanted something and you denied me that service, that thing that is open to the rest of the public because I was gay, then I have a discrimination suit against you. And the lawsuit then becomes, did you or did you not discriminate against me because I was gay? Maybe you discriminated against me because you don't like me. That's fine, actually. If you discriminate against me because of my class status, then you lose that lawsuit. In Indiana now, under the RFRA, the alleged discriminator has a defense to say that, yes, I discriminated against you. But I discriminated against you because I have a deeply held religious belief. And my deeply held religious belief allows me to supersede your rights as a person to discriminate against you in this particular way.
But wait. It's more like, because I don't like the gay marriage thing, I can discriminate against you. If I just don't like gays, that's against the law.
That might be a distinction without a difference, honestly. We don't know how these court cases are gonna actually turn. We don't know how these lawsuits are actually gonna come out. One of the weird things about the Indiana law, right, is that they don't actually require you to explain where you've got this deeply held religious belief. Arguably anybody could say it. There's a pizza place in Indiana that says, well, we're not gonna deliver pizzas to gay weddings, as if there's a gay wedding that has pizza delivery. But anyway.
I'm not going there, but whatever.
You know, they could claim arguably anything. And then the way that the law is set up now is that the courts would have to figure out if there was a less discriminatory way for protecting the owner's religious beliefs, right? But that completely shifts the burden of the question from a binary, did you or did you not discriminate against this person, to a much more nebulous, well, yes, you discriminated, but what's your belief? And how deeply held is that belief? And what other ways might you have been able to? It becomes an entire morass of problems. And that's why a lot of the critics have been saying about the Indiana law, the problem is that it opens up the state. It opens up the situation to all kinds of discrimination that we don't know where it's going to come from yet, and we don't know how the courts are going to sort that out.
All right, here's one for you. It is illegal, if I own a retail establishment, to put a sign in my window that says, we do not serve blacks here, correct?
Correct.
Is it illegal for me to put a sign in my window which says, we do not serve individuals who are planning to have same-sex marriages?
I mean, it's really it's almost a Minority Report pre-cog level.
It's a stumper all of a sudden.
Can you ban somebody for something that they might do? That's unclear. There are legitimate distinctions between, let's say, a public accommodations place. That was the main of the segregation of the civil rights laws, right? So there's a distinction between something that's a public accommodation versus businesses that seem more like speech, right? So if I have a restaurant and I say I'm not going to serve gay people, that's probably still illegal, although in Indiana there will be a court case now probably over that. If I say I'm not going to bake a cake for gay weddings, that's a little bit different because now you're not just dealing with discrimination laws. You're dealing with kind of more seemingly legitimate First Amendment laws because baking the cake requires a creative expression.
If I very compellingly, and I can't do this because I don't believe this, but if I was able to say to you, I love America. I believe in America. I have lots of friends who are gay, but I just the idea of a marriage between two people who are the same sex just offends me. It just really, I just can't do that religiously. Do I have standing to say that in America and to act on that belief if I can convince you that I am truly offended as opposed to somebody just playing a little legal game?
Sure. And I would say that if you feel that way, you absolutely have a right to not get gay married. If you really don't like gay marriage, if it's not good for you, if you think that it's wrong, if you think that it's immoral, you should by all means not get gay married. That's your right.
And if I said to you, I can't sleep at night because I sold these lilies to this couple who got married in this way that it just really offends me.
I mean, I can't sleep.
Would you say to that?
I would say I can't sleep at night because the Mets signed Michael Kadire as their big free agent signing, right? Like, there are lots of things that make us not be able to sleep. I can go to Shea Stadium and I can boo, all right, but I can't make it legally impossible for Michael Kadire to play.
They come to my shop to buy flowers.
You're selling the flowers.
But Justice Alito.
Justice Alito suggests, Indiana suggests that you selling them flowers would be an unimaginable impingement on your religious belief. How far are we willing to take that? Because there are lots of things in the Bible. There are lots of things in the Torah. There are lots of things in the Quran that suggest that you should be really angry about that we're not anymore. There are so many anachronistic prohibitions in these ancient texts that the thought of applying those prohibitions under the guise of legal protection so that you can deny somebody else services, it would be an unworkable society if we did that. Mm.
Ellie Mistal, an editor at Above the Law, editor-at-large of Breaking Media, which publishes Above the Law and is the managing editor of ATL Redline. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, John.